Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you speak through your word. Your Holy Spirit is the pen of human beings, and he is the one who is able to and does reveal the truth to the heart. And we pray, O our God, that your truth will be revealed to us this morning, and that we may glorify God. We pray for Harry, and we ask, O Lord, that you would soon restore him to health and strength. And we ask this in your holy and your precious name. Amen. Am I? I am switched on. Okay, sorry. Good. We read that passage in Isaiah because when the Lord Jesus Christ came here, in his mind, I'm sure, is the background to that reading in Isaiah. For surely he was the Lord of glory that Isaiah saw. And he was the one that spoke and sent Isaiah. And in a sense, the Lord Jesus said, what I'm asking you to do, Isaiah, is what I will do as well. For I am going to be that sent one as well. I'm going to come in the spirit and power of the Holy One to speak to mankind. But some won't hear. And that is the message of this parable. Let's just work through the parable. First of all, we'll speak about the parable and we'll retell it, the purpose of the parable and the revelation that is associated with it, and the parable applied, or the result of the parable. The parable is told to us here in verses 1 to 9. And the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 3, spoke to them in parables, many parables. He had done this already, and he was going to go on doing it. But this parable, we need to get in our mind, is the key parable that the Lord Jesus ever taught. It's given to us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's interesting to read those comparisons as well, because we learn lessons from the way he told the parable in those Gospels as well. But we know that this is a significant parable, because later on he will tell us. Just as an introduction, and the Sunday school teachers have gone out, but I remember once hearing a message on verse 2. The great multitudes were gathered together so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And that is an ideal thing for teachers, because all the people were looking out at an expanse of nothing. Nothing was going on, nothing to distract their attention, just the Lord sitting in a boat. What a good lesson for teachers. I've never forgotten that one. And so the Lord gets on with a parable. And he says that a sower goes out and he sows seed, and you know how they did it in those days. They had a basket in front and they scattered it across. So it wasn't accurately done. It wasn't drilled like the tractors of today, so that it was done really efficiently. So some went into different places. And some went, in verse 4, by the wayside, or onto a path, or onto a road. And people were walking past there. That was hard, and nothing was going to happen to it. It just rested on the top. And what happened? Birds came and devoured them up. And so that was wasted seed. And then verse 5. Some fell on stony or rocky places where there wasn't much earth. So perhaps that's in another place, by the side of a hill, which hadn't been ploughed up. And it went there, and the soil on there was damp. There had been a little bit of rain. Perhaps there was a little bit of a hollow in the rock where there was some rainwater resting. And so the seed began to grow up. And just saw signs of life. But because there was no depth there, there's nowhere for the root to go. When you plant your sweet peas now, you won't put them onto a stone, you'll put them into some soil, won't you, where there's some depth, so the roots can go down. And there was no depth here. And when the sun came up and scorched, then the seed was just faded. If you look at your house plants and they're fading, you water them, don't you? Here, the seed didn't progress. It was wasted seed. And then a third lot goes amongst thorns and brambles. And they're growing up this time of the year. And the seed comes up and it grows quite well. But because of the thorns, there is no light for it to get through. And again, it doesn't grow. It is choked. Its life is choked. Remember, the Lord is saying, so far, the seed hasn't been successful. The farmer has sowed all this seed generously. He has sowed seed, and three lots of hearers, or three lots of places where it's fallen, nothing, no result, wasted seed. And it's only the fourth ground where it yields a crop. And it yields 100-fold, or 60, or 30. Now, when I was a youngster, I never understood what 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold was. What's that mean? I suggest to you it means that one seed would either produce 100 in the ears, or 60, or 30. So fairly fruitful, and very fruitful, and extremely fruitful benefit to the farmer. And so all that wasted seed is replaced by the beautiful amount that is produced and has come. So he hasn't wasted his seed at all. He's getting a crop, and so he's got some to grind into flour to have food, and some to put aside for sowing the next year. And then the Lord, having told this parable, says, "And he who has ears to hear, let him hear." The word is to go down and to bear fruit. It's to be understood. The mind is to hear it. The heart is to hear it. Are we going to understand the parable? Are we going to soak our mind in soaps or sport? Or are we going to allow the mind to absorb the word of God and to meditate on the scripture day and night? This is the reason for the parables, that we hear and that we absorb and we take in what God is saying to us. So what is the purpose of the parable? Verse 10 to 17. The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So it's to you or to them. Who's going to hear? I wonder if this morning, are you a hearer? Have you heard God speaking to you? And not only that, verse 12, "For whoever has, to him will more be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." So if we have been given, we have a responsibility. If we've heard the word of God, if God has revealed the truth to us, then there's an obligation upon us as to what we have heard, to do something about it, to react, to produce fruit. Many hear but do not understand. Verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And then he reverts to the picture that we have in Isaiah, where Isaiah is sent, he has been given this tremendous vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the power and experience of that vision, he is sent out. And he needs the power of that vision of Christ, because everybody he's going to talk to, God says, will not listen, will not hear. But Isaiah, I want you to go on preaching. And the Lord Jesus says here, three quarters of the people that I preach to do not listen, do not hear, do not take in. The truth means nothing to them. Verse 14, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Have you turned? Can I ask you that question? Have you turned to the word of God being spoken to you? Have you heard the word of God in your heart and in your mind? Or has it fallen on deaf ears and blind eyes and a dull heart? This is serious stuff. Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to bring salvation. And he came to speak truth. Are we hearing? Have we heard? Are we listening to his voice? Are we taking it in? It's deadly serious. It's a matter of life and death. Eternal life or eternal death. And then we have the blessings of the Christian. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Does that connect to what we've been hearing on a Sunday morning so far? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. The prophets looked into what they were saying because they earnestly desired to see the things that you now hear. And we are so blessed. We're not only like the disciples, but now we have the explanation that Jesus has given and can look back with greater insight and greater light. So how blessed we are that we have received the message of the kingdom in our hearts. Things that prophets and kings wanted to see and understand and could not. And one day perhaps they do now. And so we have the parable itself. We have the purpose of the parable, and then we have the parable applied in verses 18 to 23, or the result. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Let me ask you again this morning, are you hearing God speak to you? Are you hearing the word of God? Does it mean something to you? Is it alerting you to your position before him? Or are you like this person who is like the wayside, who has a hard heart and will not receive the truth of God? Cannot see it, cannot hear it, just doesn't understand. It's because the Bible describes us as dead in sin if we don't hear God's word. And we need God to make us alive. We need to appeal to him and ask him for faith and repentance, that we might turn and look to him and be saved. And it is by grace that we are saved, through faith. Have you heard? Have you got a hard heart that is refusing to listen? Is Satan at work? Is Satan destroying what you hear? And so when you go out of here this morning, you will not understand and will continue not to understand and will not absorb this message of the gospel. We trust not. We trust that God's revelation will come. Verse 20. He who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I remember years ago we had a young fellow come into our youth group, and there were a whole gang of us, and several of those at that age, 3 or 4 years younger, and many of them confessed Christ. And I remember one really keen guy, and in 6 months he was baptized. In another 3 months he'd gone, and I don't know where he is today spiritually, if he's still alive. He sprang up with joy. The joy of God's salvation seemed to glow in his heart, and he seemed to love the Lord. And there was nothing there, because he tasted of the good word of God, as we read in Hebrews, and it had not gone down into his being. It had not changed him. It had just ricocheted in his ears, and it sounded marvelous. It sounded like someone playing pleasant music, but it had not radically changed his mind. There had not been that repentance that is necessary. When the mickey taking at school comes along, is that something that throws us? When you're out with a group of your friends and someone asks you a direct question, why do you go to church? Are you ready to speak? Has the seed gone down into your heart so that you can tell them out of a full heart, with that vision of the Christ, the great God behind you, who you've seen and known has redeemed you? Can you respond with joy in the face of perhaps opposition? Are we bold in our witness? I find this myself a great trial, to be bold to people about their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fine here, but what about when we're in the minority? Verse 21 says he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, then the word is of no effect. He immediately stumbles. Verse 22. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Thorns in the life, cares, worries, desires of this life, the want to be rich, or the need to be having it sufficient income to be able to live in a place like this. Is there something there that's choking your Christian life? Are there idols coming that are displacing a love for God? I was challenged recently, and I couldn't find the quote because I'd given away the magazine, but it's something like, goes something like this. John Piper has said recently, is Jesus precious to me? Is the Lord Jesus himself precious to me? Because there are lots of people who want their sins forgiven because that gets rid of the shame. And there are lots of people who want their sicknesses healed and want wellness. There are lots of people who want a fantastic heaven to go to. But it's no good if Jesus isn't precious, because Jesus is the center of heaven. Jesus is the one that we are saved by. Are we just saved because we want to be free from our guilt, or just because we want an insurance for eternal life? Here, the thorns grew up and choked the word of God. You know, there are many people who they need to move, or they have to move, or circumstances change and they want to move away. And the last thing in their mind is, can I find a good church where I move to? Brethren, if you move away from here, the first priority is to find a church where the word of God is preached, because your soul is the most important thing that you have. You need to be under the word of God. And I have seen over the years many, many friends who've moved away and fallen away because they have not made that their priority. If the church is right, and if the church is teaching your children the right way, and you are being encouraged to teach your children the right way, then it doesn't matter what they're teaching in school because you're counteracting it. So the school is secondary, and the house is secondary. Your soul and being under the Word of God is the primary thing. Is that going down deep into your heart so that when you move to different circumstances, you're not swayed, but you put the first things first? Do remember that. It's a very necessary lesson to remember. And then verse 23, the result. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces 100 times or 60 times or 30 times. Do we hear and do we understand? Is our mind engaged? Many people want experience, and experience is good. We need to have an experience of God. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would come more and more and descend upon us, and that we would experience his nearness and his greatness in our meetings, and that we would rejoice because of what our Savior has done more by that nearness of the Lord being with us. We do need experience, but the mind needs transforming. The Apostle Paul says, doesn't he, in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? By dwelling on the Word of God, that the Word may go down deep into our hearts and into our minds. The Holy Spirit needs to reveal truth to us daily to cause us to be able to bear fruit. We won't grow spiritually unless the Holy Spirit is working in us by his Word and condemning the sin that's in us and helping us to put to death the evil that is in us. But it is a slow work. Don't expect the Holy Spirit to transform you into a total saint straight away. The fruits of the Spirit take time to grow. Love. Do I love as I ought to love? My heart is a cold heart, and I need to cultivate that fruit of the Spirit, to let it grow and to mature in my life. Joy. Are you a joyful Christian? Do you know that Christ has redeemed you and that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Does he make you happy? Is he a thrill to your heart? The fruit of joy. Let it be expressed then, and not in the moans and groans about things that we have, about the way the church is. No, let us have joy in the Holy Spirit and praise God for what he's done for us. Do we have peace? Have you got peace of mind? Are things disturbing your peace? Get back in the Word and let it generate in your heart a satisfaction that God knows what he's doing. He knows the way you're taking, and he will help you. Whatever the trial, whatever the problem, the peace of God can be known to pervade in a way that cannot be explained. Long suffering. Better not dwell on that too long, had I? Long suffering. Kindness. Are we kind? Kind to the poor? Kind to those that irritate us? Goodness. Goodness, I think, seems to describe it all, doesn't it? It goes right through the whole lot. Are we being good? Faithfulness, another fruit of the Spirit. You'll find all these in Galatians. Faithfulness. Here is the Lord Jesus telling us that 3/4 of his hearers don't have faithfulness. They fall away. But for those who hear the word, and the word goes down, and they understand it, then they will persevere. They will go on and on and on. Looking to the Lord who has gone before us and following him faithfully, found at their work doing what they should, not falling away from the truth. And if that's a tough thing, then the next fruit is gentleness. Are we gentle with one another? Are we careful not to offend one another? Self-control. So easy, isn't it, not to keep our temper. Are we witnessing and working for the Saviour, seeking the good of all people, especially God's people? How can I be less self-centred? He who receives the word on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit. He hears the word, he understands it, he puts it into practice and makes it his very own. And it works its way out through the fruit of the Spirit of God. How do I look after the singles or the widows or the poor? Am I spending my time where I can on those aspects? Let me ask, where is the seed in your life? Is it bearing fruit for the glory of God? For that's why he's sown it. He wants to see that fruit. He's the farmer. He wants to have that fruit. And whether it's 100 or 60 or 30-fold, he wants to see fruit in your life and my life. Let us help him in that work, in that spirit work, to give joy to his heart as we live our daily Christian life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Word of God may deal with us this morning and that it will continue to work in our lives. May we take the warnings that you have given. We read in the other accounts that you say to the disciples, how will you understand any parable if you don't understand this one? And we pray, O Lord, that you'll give us an understanding of this parable this morning, that it will stay with us, that it will warn us, that it will help us, it will encourage us. And for any who have not the Word of God dwelling in their life, who have not understood, who are blind, who are deaf, Lord, we pray that you'd reveal by your Spirit to the inner man and bring glory to your name. Oh Lord, we pray for fruit in this area, that as it is cast in different places, it will bear fruit and many will give glory to God. We pray for the children even now as they are being taught, that you would speak to them and help them to understand the truth of the Word of God. May they value it and know that God has given this great book, this wonderful week instrument that in the power of the Spirit brings life. O Lord, come, we pray, by your mercy, in Jesus' name. Amen.